As has been announced, we're going to have a wee word of testimony in the service tonight. Earlier in the year, on Mother's Day, we were blessed when our sister Frances Irwin gave a wee word of testimony that evening. We were encouraged and blessed by that, and we thought it'd be nice to have a father give a wee word of testimony at the service, the gospel service, on the night of Father's Day. And Stephen's especially appropriate as he became a father again this year with the birth of another little one in the family. So we're going to ask Stephen if he'll come up just now and give that wee word of testimony to us, please.
I wasn't expecting to be called upon so early. But anyway, I suppose when he calls you up, you have to go. So I suppose the sooner the better. But anyway, when Mr. McMillan phoned me a few weeks ago, well, the name came up on the phone and I thought to myself, what on earth does he want? And if I had a new, I thought it was something else, if I had a new what he wanted, there's no way I would have answered it. But, he did ask me right enough where I was and what I was doing before he asked me the question. And I told him I was in the roof putting on tiles, but he didn't take that into consideration. Because if anybody knows where I'm building a house, the scaffolding isn't the best. And if I had fell, it would have been just dead down. But anyway, Laura's uncle was beside me. And I came off the phone and I'm sure he wondered what this was all about. And I said, you have a notion who that was? And I said, it was the Reverend McMillan. He goes, these two are thick as thieves. And I assured him, that isn't the case. But anyway, there's one word I can put over all of my testimony. And that word is blessed. Not that I've done anything of myself, because I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I was brought in. I think anybody even born into Northern Ireland would have to say they're blessed because the gospel is all about us here. But brought into a Christian home, under a home where we were faithfully were sent to hear the word of God. I never remember a time in my life that I didn't know the love of God and the way of salvation. In Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, it speaks of the blessed man. Well, I definitely don't meet the standard in them verses of the blessed man. But God definitely has blessed me in my life. And I don't know why. I wasn't saved, which I'll tell you later on, until I was 16. But even till I was 16, you know, God's hand was definitely upon my life. I thank God, since I have been saved, that God has definitely put a peace and contentment and satisfaction in my life. And I thank him for it, because I definitely was a young person that was striving for something. I knew what I needed, but I never took the courage and I didn't take the step of faith. As many of you know, I was brought up in a big family. There was five boys and then our little sister. And she may as well have been called a boy too, because she'd her toys were our toys, and she just had a tag on. So she just ended up wee tomboy. But I really thank my granny Stard especially, because I believe that her prayers, a lot of them have been answered, but there's still a lot hasn't. But I believe having parents and grandparents that are saved and pray much for the children and grandchildren is definitely a great blessing. Also, like, our home wasn't a perfect home, but I knew it was loved at home. And another great blessing was my oldest brother Thomas got saved young, and he definitely had a big influence on the rest of us. Because when he, you know, what he'd done, we followed, and that definitely, he definitely had a Christian influence on the rest of us as children. But when I was under serious conviction, I used to look at Thomas's life and picked serious holes in it, saying things like, you know, if he's a Christian, you know, I don't want it, because, you know, I just, everything he done wrong, then I just, but that was God's conviction upon my life. But Thomas definitely did show and lead a good upward life as a Christian. But I was only trying my best to get away from God. As a family, we were faithfully sent. The first children's meetings that I remember was to Tynham, run by the brethren. I don't recall any, you know, we were taught of the word of God, I'm sure, but I don't remember, because we were very, very, I was still very small. I'd say I left that and was only still about 4 or 5. But I can remember the hymns, especially, and they say the old ways are gone, but we were singing hymns out of that, the Songs of Victory book. And I loved them old hymns, and even when I see that book to this day, I still can remember singing them hymns. I don't remember the preaching, but I remember the singing, especially. And the children in that wee hall sang for the Lord. And they recall that. The first time I do remember being under the Word of God was at a wee meeting with the Presbyterians called Gateway, which the neighbours come and brought me to it, and the brothers as well. And I remember one night Alan Foster spoke, and he brought a map. I presume it was a map of Northern Ireland. I can't remember. It was definitely a map. And he talked about the roads in the map. And he spoke of the way of salvation. And that was definitely, to my youngest memory, that's probably the one message that does stand out that I do recall the most. So I was sent, from a very early age, I was sent anywhere the gospel was being preached, I was sent along to, which I'm very thankful for. Another great blessing as a child was my mum and dad faithfully sent me as a child to camps, which I was brought up in the Baptist church, so I was Baptist youth. And from the age of 7, you weren't supposed to go to your 8th, but my birthday fell in the middle of that, so I got going when I was 7, because then I would be 8 in the middle of it. And I was sent from camps every year, and went to camps every year till I was about in the 20s. So my mum and dad definitely, through the Baptist youth and then the SU and then the CEF every year, and I loved the camps. And from when I was a child, especially in the late Baptist youth ones, I always prayed that God would speak to me. I was at the camps that I always wanted to come to trust him, but I never did. The first time I was under serious conviction was at my uncle's funeral when I was in 3rd year. I was doing that funeral service in the house that God spoke to me, but I did nothing about it. A year later in June time, it was a late June night, and I presume it was between about 11, half 11, 12 o'clock. And my father asked me and the brother if we would go down and bring this cow in. So I took off out of the house and down the field, down the hill. And when I got to the bottom of the hill, I didn't know if my brother had his woolly boots on before me or where he was, but I knew he was somewhere. But all I could see in the next field was a figure of a person, which I first presumed was my brother, but it wasn't. So when I seen him running left or right, I went left, because I presumed then that the cow wasn't in the meadow, it definitely had to be in the hill somewhere. So I headed for the other side. The next thing I remember was lying on the ground. And I don't know what really happened, but I remember opening my eyes and just seeing a gun to my face. As soon as I opened my eyes, I just presumed terrorists, so I just closed my eyes straight away thinking, all's over. No other thought did come into my head. I just closed my eyes presuming all was lost. There was no time to think of heaven or hell or anything else. Then I was shook and heard voices, so opened my eyes again. And I never was so encouraged and opened my eyes, it was actually the army. And where we lived, this was in the times of the Troubles, where we lived, the army did camp a lot around the farm. But I was so thankful, as soon as I opened my eyes and seen it was the army, I just put my head back on the ground, closing the house, and just thank God for, you know, for what had happened. But that night then, obviously, you always think, you know, what if happened, what could have happened? And I just thank God that He did save my life. And even in that whole thing, that, you know, accidentally, that the gun didn't go off or whatever. But the brother then, the army let me go. I just remember the army saying to the other fella, it's only a child, bro, it's only a child. And I started heading up the field, forgot all about the cow. And my brother met me then, and he goes, what was that all about? So I tried to explain it, and he took me back up to the house. But that night was a sleepless night, because the fear of death come upon me. But after a few days, as most cases in people's lives, you know, they sort of have to get about it. But in September of the same year then, in the Baptist, there was a youth mission. On the Saturday night, they were watching a video, and I can't even remember the name of the video. But it was really, what the video was about, really was about a sister caught up in drugs. And the wee brother tried to do the best he could to find out where the sister was getting these drugs from. And the wee fella in that operation was shot and killed on his death. In his last few minutes, his friend come to him, and the wee brother told the friend to continue on to do all he could to save the sister's life. And it was at that point that the whole cross and the whole Calvary story really hit me, and this time I couldn't get away from it. And the background music to that video was, I will serve thee because I love thee. And just that chorus just repelled through my mind continually and continually, that the thing, what God has done for me, and how God went to the cross and died for me, and He's done everything for me, and all I have to do is trust in Him. So that night when the meeting was over, I asked the pastor if he would lead me to the Lord. I went up to a wee room upstairs, and he opened the Bible and he prayed. And he said, now you can pray. And I couldn't pray. And there was a long silence, and the only words I could get out was, save me. And that was it. But I knew within my heart that it was by faith. There was no need for a long prayer, but it was just putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all that mattered. And I knew that I definitely was saved. And that night when I came out of the meeting, it was a lovely clear night. And I remember looking up at the sky and seeing the stars in the sky. And it was the first time in my life that I really enjoyed looking at God's creation. And from then now, every winter's night or every clear night that the stars are shining reminds me of that night that I got saved, and I thank the Lord for it, because it's a continuous reminder to me. I never knew through school, I wasn't the best student, not like my other brothers and sisters. They were all pretty good, but I wasn't I was the exception in the house. But Mum always said I wasn't allowed to come home to the farm, that the farm wasn't big enough to support anybody else. But I never knew what it would do. I'm coming the fifth year then, that Mum always kept asking, you know, what are you going to do next year? And I just didn't know. I didn't really care. So Mum done all the research for me. So she worked in Armagh Tech, and she went to the careers advisor there and spoke my part to him, and he advised to go to an engineering course in Lisburn Tech. So my father then took me down to see it then in June. So we landed down on, you know, right, if you get the grades, you can, you know, there's no problem. So I got the grades, and I done nothing about it till the course started in September. So my mum and my granny took me down, and more or less just threw me off at the front of the Lisburn Tech. When I was down in June, they said that they had sorted out accommodation for me. But when I walked in, the tutor just turned around and goes, I never thought I'd ever see you. Because the day you come down, I just presumed, oh, you're just another one of these ones that come in the choir but never arrive. He goes, I've nowhere for you to stay. But I'm sure we can sort something out. So that day passed, and he said to come back. We've been through all, you know, we got all the students sort of half sorted out. So he said, come back at 4 o'clock, and I'll have somewhere to stay. So I'm back, and he goes, no, nobody's going to take you. But he says, if the worst comes to worst, you can come and live with me. So I goes, right, this is good. So thankfully, an old lady in Lisbon, Dolly and Geordie Watson, they were connected. Their son actually worked in the tech as a mechanic tutor. And they'd quit taking on people in digs, but they opened up their home. The tutor pleaded with this fellow working in tech, go and see your mum and dad and take this young fellow on from Armagh. He's a real good fellow. And he'll not cause any hassle. You know, we need somewhere to stay, and pleaded with him, and eventually they go, well, send him down and we'll see what happens. So I'm just so thankful that they took me. It wasn't a Christian home, and I learned so much. You know, being brought up in a Christian home and then being into a non-Christian home, you know, the blessing of God really stood out, you know, what I had. And I'm just so thankful that I was brought up in a Christian home. They were real good people, but I witnessed to them, and I done all I could till Geordie since died, and you know, and all, but Dolly's still here. So I'd done the 2 years of engineering, which I really enjoyed. The Reverend Roger Higginson was actually in the class with me, but he wasn't. Well, I'm not saying he wasn't a Christian at that time. He definitely wasn't walking with the Lord at that time. And to see the transformation in Roger's life, even from the start of tech till when my part of company, was tremendous. When we were doing when I was doing the studies for the HND, which I never passed anyway, that was an hour story and a half. But anyway, I suppose better when I went actually to do the HNC exams, I ended up in a serious car accident on the M1 that morning. I was pulling off for the M1 turn off for Sainfield, and I looked in the mirror of the car, and I seen this. I was late to the exam, and of course I was getting on, and I shoved off, and that slipway was pretty short, and I actually had to stand on the brakes pretty rough to get stopped. And I said, if there's anybody behind me and doing the same speed, there's a good chance he'll not get stopped. And I looked in the mirror, and all I seen was this lorry hammering. And I said, well, there's nowhere I could go, because the next lane was full of traffic. On the north side was the bank. So I sat there, and I was the first car I hit on those 5 cars wrecked that day. I was totally rid off front and back. I hit the car in front, then I went down those 5 cars damaged. But eventually, I was knocked out, and eventually came around, got out of the car, and the lorry there was still sitting there, and he was totally, he'd actually only drove that lorry. It was for Edgar Transport that does the chickens, and he'd actually only drove that lorry for the first time. He'd only started with that firm the first and last day in the firm. But that was another thing that really spoke to me, you know, that you can never be sure of your life. You know, guys going to attack to do the exams, and that's what sort of messed me up totally, because obviously I wasn't fit to do the exams, and I missed out on that whole year, so I had to sort of repeat and mess about, and then I ended up, between that and the farm living else, I never got round to doing, finishing it at all then. But God definitely spoke me through that we can't be sure of any day, because we never know when we go out, if we're ever going to come back. And if you're here unsaved, you know, that accident was nothing, no fault of my own, and it doesn't really matter. You know, roads or no roads, you know, it's life's, we all can be cut off at an unexpected time. So, another, you asked me, you know, blessed of God and God's hand, this is just to explain another instant that God intervened in a real miraculous way. When I'd finished them 2 years, the first 2 years of, an engineering course, you could go on to university or seek employment and then go one day a week. So mum insisted that I applied for universities, but I said, well, I'm not going anyway, but she insisted I filled in the UCAS form, so I agreed to apply then to Jordanstown and Queens, which I got accepted to, but never any notion of going. But obviously mums keep trying to push you, you know, but eventually you have to put the foot down to say no. But the tutor of the year tutor then came in towards the end of that year and said to us all, there was actually one girl in the class and the rest of us were all fellas. There's a company in Lurgan looking an apprentice. If anybody's interested, you know, let me know. And there was about six of us all said, yes, we'd be very interested. So there was nothing about that for about a fortnight till Terry. That was the year he was Terry. He was actually from Bangor, a Roman Catholic man. Pulled me aside one day and said, Stephen, that job in Lurgan, I believe for you, and I don't understand why, but I'm only letting your name go forward and you only, for some reason, I don't understand. And when he told me that, I just knew that God had that all arranged for some unknown reason. And that factory was about 340 employees, and about 90% of the workforce was Catholic. I loved the time there and had so many great opportunities. And the workshop that I started in, I was the only Protestant in it. And there was actually a fella coming, you know, that worked in the fella's sort of subunit. Goes like, he couldn't really find out that it was a Protestant. He goes like, there's no Protestants would ever get into that workshop for some unknown reason. Like, he just thought when he seen me first that that man must be another Catholic because there'd be no way Protestants ever allowed in there. But the fella that I was working with, he was the same age as me, and he was doing an apprenticeship too. He was called Mark, and he was from Lurgan, from Kowalka. And he was seriously into his heavy metal music. And he was there before me, we were the same age, but he'd always his heavy metal music on or else Radio 1, and that usually was always in the background. So one day he come to me and goes, I think you should bring some of your music in. And I go, great. He goes, there's equal opportunities and you've as much right to play your music as I have now. So I go, great. So I goes, Annie, I done nothing about it, Annie, one more day assisted in. I goes, alright, then I will. So I haven't got a great selection of music, but what I did have was Willie McRae. So I go, well, sure, I'll give it a go anyway. So of course, once Willie McRae came on, it did create a serious stir within the factory. The ones that I did work with closely in their own area knew I was a Christian. But after that day, the whole factory knew I was a Christian. So it was wild funny. Only that he pushed for it, I would never have done it. But it definitely opened up, you know, later on as I, you know, progressed in engineering and into the maintenance of it. As I went through the factories, a lot of Roman Catholics, when I was sort of one-to-one with them, well, obviously the whole factory knew that was a Christian, and I got into real, real good conversations with a lot of good Catholic people. And I really loved working with them Catholic people, and I loved them for the gospel, and I really respected them. Actually, the Catholics respected me more, I say, than most of the Protestants did. But there was a lady there, Edna Richard, that goes to the Free Church in Lurgan. And it was probably after that incident, I can't remember when, but I think she came up to me and goes, I hear you're a Christian. And like she was a granny at that stage. But me and her had a great time there. You know, every time I went to the far end of the factory, then she would always be looking out and would pull me over and give me a word of encouragement. And just talk quickly about things, and then you'd have to go on about your business. But I really thank her in that factory. And there's a lady, Paula Silcock, her husband sings around the church. Her dad went as an elder, I think, in the Dromorphry, and she was another great help to me as well as a young Christian. Once I got saved, I always knew, I always heard the phrase "save to serve." And during school, then I got involved with the SU. And then during the tech, then I got involved in the SU as well. But then when I started work, I got involved with the CEF camps then, working with the children, going down to Newcastle for a week in the summer, and then the CEF choir, and there's a man, David Irwin, was a coordinator in the Armagh area, and there was my oldest brother and myself and Paul. And I think the reason why he phoned us mostly was one phone call and you got three. So he never seemed to quit phoning our house on a Sunday morning to see if we would go with him, and he gathered a few. It wasn't a full choir, there was usually about 10 to 20 of us, and we travelled all over the north, and he would have spoken, and then we would have sung a few hymns. But I loved them days going and serving the Lord, and then going to the senior youth challenge with the CF as well. I was brought up in the Baptist, and then I started coming here. It was actually my brother Philip, as most of you know, and then he couldn't actually drive at that stage, so he asked me would I take him to the fellowship down below. So I consented because I was going actually nowhere else then on a Friday night anyway. So I started attending the fellowship, which I really enjoyed, and I learnt a lot from it. And it was through that then, you know, later on then I joined the church here. So I started helping out at the youth holidays and the youth fellowship. Then I was asked to do the representation for the youth council for a few years, and then to help organise events through the south and west of the United Youth, which I really enjoyed also. I spent 9 years or so in an engineering firm, and then the firm moved to Malaysia for cheap labour and to Mexico. So I went out to Malaysia for a month and then come back. So it was just at home, we're working on the farm, and my brother does forestry work, and he was intending to leave the company he worked for and start out on his own. But he said, I need to stay in it for another while. If you can find something, go on ahead, and then we'll down the line we'll start it. So I went to work at a pig farm out our way, quite a big pig farm, and it definitely was very interesting. It was full of foreigners, and had great opportunities there to witness for the Lord also. But the worst thing about it was coming into the house at night. My mum always went stone mad. It's not as our house was tidy or didn't smell of farm, but coming in smelling of a pig didn't not go down well at all. And mum was definitely glad to see me out of it. I still only stayed there 6 months or so, and then the brother and me started doing the forestry work, which I still do, you know, to now. Somewhere between there, I suppose, I need to say I got married. So I'm married 5 years now, and I've 3 children. Well, we're not going into that now. Well, I tell you, this was actually was quite funny. And he says, tell us more. When I started going with Laura, there is quite an age difference. But I remember I was making up a makeshift clothesline for my mum out in the front paddock. And I was up on top of the steps, and I was putting the spiller between those three for some reason or other. And I told my mum, and probably just as well I was at the top of that and she was the bomb, because it had been Laura, she definitely would have fell off. Because all she went, what? Is that the wee ginger-haired one? And I go, she goes, she's only a wee girl. So then there was a silence, and then eventually she said, well, if you believe it's God's will, well, who am I to say? So then, I'll tell you next, but it's even better. I told them, I haven't just wrote down here, I wasn't planning to say this. So I told the boy, maybe just as well he's walked out. So I told Paul then next, and Paul just goes, you need to watch it, you get shot right in there. So, that was an encouragement I got for starting to go out with Laura. But anyway, we're married 5 years just passed, and with 3 children, the school has really blessed us with 3 healthy children. And I just thank the Lord especially for that. At that stage then, I decided to step down from the youth. But I still wanted to do something for the Lord, and I didn't really know what or where. So I prayed to God, and Mr. Johnson always told us, if you pray earnestly, make sure you're ready for the answer, because God will definitely open the door. And within a few weeks, I was at the Laura's mum house one Sunday for dinner after church. And I seen this page with the CEF symbol on it. And even at that stage, you know, I stopped doing the CEF camp for CEF with the young ones. But once I seen the symbol, I goes, what on earth has the CEF symbol got to do in this house? Because I'd never seen it there before. So I went over and lifted it. And it was a prayer letter from Marcus Somerville. And I read down the prayer points, and I think this was the second prayer point, was just to pray for a male leader for the Zinters camp. So I said, like, if that's not an answer to prayer, what is? So I had no choice but to phone Marcus. And he says, oh, definitely come. We need as many male leaders as we can. So I started doing that, and definitely I've got a real blessing from doing that. It's about the 5 years I've been doing that now with CEF. And that's sort of the 9, 10, 12, 13 years group, which can sometimes be a difficult stage in young people's lives. But a couple of years ago, there was a girl at it, and she absolutely hated it. I didn't want to be there, and she let everybody know. It was her granny that paid for this girl to go. And she didn't want to go, but her granny insisted, paid for it, and the granny insisted she went. And she made life real difficult at the start of that week. But at the end of the week, it was a total transformation in that girl. And she really did. I don't think she could save them, but she definitely took her serious interest in the things of God. And it's just kids like that, that when you see them from 1 year to the next, to see how they've moved on with God. And to see kids coming to camps that have a very little Christian influence at home, which there's plenty of at that camp, and it's just amazing just to spend that week with them, and it suits me well, because it gets me totally away from the farm, and from the things of the farm and work. And it's just, when I'm away from them, it leaves that I can really spend the time with those children, and just try and encourage them. Just a question maybe to leave is, what is the most important thing in your life? You know, I enjoy work probably as much as anybody, and that's probably one of the main faults in my own life is I just love work so much. I always did love work. I always loved engineering, now the forestry, and just the things of the farm and all. And work's, to me, work's plentiful if you're looking for it, and unfortunately you get probably too much of it. But is work your problem? Or is it sport? Or is it family? Or relationships or friends? Or the things of this world like yours and stuff, you know? We've only a short time on this earth, and I'm speaking to my own heart as much as anybody else's. But I thank God that I'm saved, but are you? And that is the question. You know, I knew from a very young age that I needed Christ, and I knew that the things of God were true. But it wasn't until I was 16, so more or less I had no choice but to flee to Christ. You know, it was Jesus did it all for me. He made the circumstances that really I had no other choice but to call upon him. But I plead with you tonight, if God is speaking to your heart, that you would flee to him and put your trust in him. Of a verse here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. And there's a hymn that was sung in time meeting when I was a child, the tier 4, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And like anybody involved, you know, with children's work and all that, like I was only 3, 4 and 5, I presume, when I heard that hymn sung, but that hymn has stuck with me the whole way through life, and I love that hymn, and it's because of the children's meeting in town. Another verse I just want to leave with you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.